All right. Welcome to Little Things Are Big Things Education. This week, a little bit of a change from our normal way of doing things. We are doing interviews this week. So as we always talk about change and continuing to push ourselves and learn, we are learning how to be good interview hosts, hopefully. And for this one on Thursday, with the emphasis on connecting with admin, we interviewed Tim Fox, who is an assistant principal at Camas High School, which is in Southwestern Washington, and him and I worked together for a year at Mountain View High School. He was the dean of students and the defensive coordinator for the football team. I was a social studies teacher and an offensive assistant coach there. And so we've checked in with each other a couple times, and he's got some really great perspectives on his role as an administrator and still trying to stay connected to students. So thanks to Tim for being here, and excited to connect with Fox.
Absolutely. I think one of the things too you guys are going to love about this episode is when he starts talking about entry points and how we can connect and be a part of the whole process with them and make them teammates. So let's get at it.
Let's do it. All right, well, introducing to everyone, Tim Fox is an assistant principal at Camas High School, which is a suburban high school outside of Vancouver in Washington. And him and I know each other from a year of coaching at Mountain View High School, which isn't actually Vancouver proper. And he eventually went from being the dean of students that year to now being an assistant principal, and just thought he would be a really good person to talk about how to connect with our administrators. And Tim, I think the first question that we have for you is, at least in my understanding of Washington, you have to teach for like 10 years before you can get into admin. So what was your favorite part of teaching?
So my favorite part of teaching, honestly, was the connections that I had with kids. Mm. You know, at the end of the day, and this is very personal, going back to being a student, thinking about my experiences with teachers and you know, the connections that I made with teachers that believed in me, that didn't give up in me. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a part of me that was like, I want to do that. I want to be that champion for students. And, you know, it's been a passion of mine working with kids for a long time. And so really that's what it comes down to, is those connections, seeing the growth in my students, being able to share my passion with them. You know, I was a history teacher, right? And so, mm-hmm. for a lot of students, it was either they hated history or they loved it. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't necessarily enjoy being taught history in high school, but I was a history major in college and really fell in love with that. And honestly, I didn't know even in college that I wanted to be a teacher. It wasn't necessarily something that I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a veteran. I'm a former Marine, went to Iraq in 2003. And, you know, I was a reservist. So I was in college at the time. And so it was weird. I actually dropped out of college, you know, wasn't sure exactly what I wanted to do. And all of a sudden here I am sitting in the middle of the desert, you know, and had to make some decisions when I got home about what I wanted to do. And, you know, it was interesting, to say the least, to come to the realization that I wanted to continue to serve, whether it was my country, to serve people, you know, but that's really what it comes down to. And, you know, it's been a heck of a journey. I miss teaching tremendously. I miss having the same group of kids that I get to work with every day. And, you know, building that culture in my classroom, you know, that is just a tremendous amount of fun. You know, and I like to say that I was an effective teacher, you know, but, you know, it's I've always had good evaluations. Let's just say that, you know, what I care about the most, I think, is when former students connect with me. Yeah. You know, when they come back either physically to see me, or, you know, we connect on social media or email or something like that.
Well, so knowing that, like, the connecting with students was the centerpiece of your teaching time, and that's like what our whole podcast is about teaching from a place of connection. Right. How have you tried to supplement that as an administrator? Right. Cause there isn't like to my knowledge, there's not like a default place where you get to have that time.
Right. So, you know, I do work with our leadership students, our ASB. So I'm the ASB director at Camas High School, mm. which presents many of its own challenges, you know, whether it's dealing with the budget, dealing with fundraising, you know, and all the student experiences, especially this year. It's been really challenging because, you know, like I said, the connections are so important to me, and helping provide experiences for students that they can look back on and really, you know, think of as a good memory. That was challenging this past year, as you guys understand. But now, these days, as an administrator, it is far more difficult to do that. And you really have to be purposeful about it. You know, part of it for me is being a presence. You know, I've made it, now that we're back in a hybrid with kids actually in the building, it's, you know, popping into classrooms more often, even just to say hello, you know. And part of it is I want to see kids. You know, part of it is I want to support my teachers. Part of it is I want them to see me, even with my long hair. Tim, this is the first time we've met. I don't have long hair normally, man.
I mean, I'm going for a little bit of the surfer summer look already here in March, so I'm ready.
Yeah, so kids have been seeing me lately, you know, now that they're back in the building going, whoa, what the heck? Okay, I kind of like it. I think I can get used to that.
Yeah, it definitely caught me by surprise when you popped on there. I was like, whoa, what happened to the fade?
Yeah, for sure. So, but it's being purposeful about being present at events, you know, seeing kids in a different light, just like as a teacher going to see their students, you know, perform in the band or, you know, on the stage in theater, in the field, you know, playing sports. So it's kind of the same thing for me. You know, it's just being as present as possible and including my family in that process as well. You know, I have two kids and I want to be part of their lives too. And so trying to find that balance is always tricky. And like I said, as the ASB director, we've got lots of events going on. Mm-hmm. You know, I try to shoot last week. I announced my first volleyball game and, you know, I had watched an hour of volleyball YouTube videos just to figure out some terminology, some slang words that I threw out there that I think impressed the kids. But, you know, it's that just being a presence, you know, and seeing them as often as I can.
I want to say just thanks for your service, first of all, for our country, and then thanks for service coming back and continuing to give to our community. And I can feel it like to your core that like service is who you are, right? And you even brought it up talking about how like your family is so important as well. And like, they're a big piece of this. And I'm sure you serve them as much as you serve the others as well, or hope, you know, even more so, I'm sure, like in that balancing act, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what are some things you have found have helped you keep you fully rejuvenated, you know? Cause like, I know when I go serve, sometimes I forget about me and I start to deplete and then I don't actually get to show up as well for other people. What are some of the things you've been able to do to keep you at full speed, especially in such a crazy year?
Man, that is honestly, it's been, that's a tough question, you know, and part of it is, you know, in times of high stress, in times of uncertainty, you know, what I found myself doing more often than I should be is diving into work. And, you know, so then losing that balance and losing that not being there for people, just like you talked about, you know, so it's reading. I love to read, you know, sometimes it's getting in my car, going for a drive, hitting golf balls. I'm terrible at golf, but going out there and hitting golf balls, you know, and finding ways to connect with buddies that I can talk to and share those feelings, right? I think that's something that I've searched for a long time, you know, is that sense of belonging and camaraderie that, you know, you have when you're an athlete, you have when you're in the military, you know, and honestly, you have oftentimes when you're a teacher. You have teachers within your department or just people that you connect with really well in your school. Sometimes being an administrator can be really isolating. You know, we all are responsible for, I'm responsible for seniors, you know, so I'm dealing with emergency credit evals right now. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes it's locking myself in my office and putting my nose in my work. And oftentimes I forget, right? Like the balance of IQ and EQ doesn't always match up and having to remember that there are other people around me that are also working really hard and finding ways to appreciate them and connect with them. But really finding the balance has been probably the most challenging thing of this year, you know, because I hate being idle, as I'm sure a lot of people do. So it's finding other things to dive into. One of the things that I've really gone into is investing, you know, like the stock market this year has been like the craziest, you know.
Okay, so, not using Robinhood.
No. No, I'm an adult. So no, sorry, Robinhood users. But
I don't think there are anymore, so you're good.
No, I know, right? So it's like finding, because I enjoy reading, finding other things to read that are outside of my normal area of competency or expertise. Like, I love reading about education. I love reading about how to serve students and my teachers in a better way. But sometimes that becomes more work. And so it's, you know, detaching myself from that and focusing on other things, you know, that's one area. Part of it too is planning. This might sound weird, but we pay all of our bills with like travel cards, right? So lately we've had a big, huge buildup of these points. And so as things have gotten better with COVID, we're more willing to spend a night somewhere and just get out of our house. My girls are going to school remotely still. So it's getting them out of the house, you know, like trying to plan these, you know, even just small trips to Seattle where we can just hang out, see something different, eat different food, you know, have some different sights. You know, we've gone on the ferry a couple of times, you know, so it's just, you know, just things like that. I'm just trying to find ways to connect with my family in ways that we haven't before, you know, especially now when we're together more often than we ever have.
Right. That's awesome. One thing that I was wondering about that I wanted to, that you kind of talked about with like being the administrator and being isolated. I think one of the reasons that the relationship between teachers and administrators can be difficult at times is I think a lot of teachers often arrive to those conversations with an assumption that the administrators are coming, like it's oppositional, right? Like they don't understand why the admin want to be the admin. And like with you having that emphasis on connection, I am interested in like what motivated you to make that switch from being a teacher to being an administrator?
Sure. No, that's a great question. You know, one of the reasons was, I guess, expanding my sphere of influence, if that makes sense. You know, I feel like in my classroom with 30 kids at a time, you know, it was great to have that experience with them, but to be able to impact them on an individual basis. But then it became the challenge of, okay, now I have 30 teachers and their sphere of influence is the same 150 kids, you know, 30 kids per class or whatever it is, you know, so it's finding ways to just expand that influence. But also it's the challenge, you know, it's the challenge of leadership, right? And the challenge of servant leadership, where it's vastly different than the leadership styles that, you know, I experienced in the Marine Corps, you know, oftentimes experienced in coaching, right? It's, I did this, you do that, you know? And it doesn't necessarily have to be that way, you know? And I think there was an expectation because of my experience in the military, because of, you know, being a football coach, that I would lead with that style. And it's not, though. You know, I believe in relationships and how important they are. They're foundational to everything, you know, whether it's you know, here at home or at work, you know. So I do try to catch my teachers off guard by the way that I ask questions, you know. So every year I start things off a little bit differently. We have our initial meeting at the beginning of the year. This year, you know, and we always talk about student growth goals. Like, what are the goals that you have for your students this year? And, you know, but this year I really wanted to focus on them as much as possible. And, you know, if we talk later about observations and evaluations and so on, I have probably compared to others, a very different line of questioning that I try to use. But, you know, this year I asked them flat out, you know, what makes you laugh? What makes you cry? What inspires you? Two words or less, you have to answer those questions. And really, it's about just trying to build relationships. And because I know that if whatever feedback I provide later, right, in the evaluation process, or at any point in time, it's going to be met with skepticism if that relationship is not there. And just like in coaching, you know, it's about having those, you know, having that foundational relationship with those students. I'm also a big believer in restorative justice. Can't have restorative justice without, if there's nothing to restore. Right. So for me, it always comes back to that relationship piece. And but also understanding too that there is a clear line between our roles, right? And at some point in time I have to be direct, and other times there's a flattening of the leadership in the decision making. And so for me, the growth has been in understanding where that needs to happen and when that needs to happen.
Okay.
So, but when it comes to choosing this route, you know, it was really tough. It was really tough. Like I said, I enjoyed teaching. And there were some administrators that I worked with that encouraged me to do it. They had me sub for them when they had their, you know, big district meetings. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed, you know, I enjoyed working with individual students when it came to discipline. I mean, that's a passion of mine, as crazy as that sounds. But student discipline, classroom management, those things are huge passions for me. You know, and part of it is because I was a pretty naughty kid. You know, so, when I think back to the teachers that knew me, that had me figured out and could, you know, I don't know if it was manipulate me, right? But find ways to get me to do what needed to be done. Not because they told me to, but because they helped me find that was the best route to take.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, at the same time, I'm also a systems thinker. When I think about how I taught, you know, when I think about how I coach, it was, I'm very much a whole person.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really start with thinking about a system, like observing a system and then dissecting the individual components of that system. And then really going, okay, is this something that we need to fix? You know, it's, everything's all good. You know, what do we need to adjust, scrap, and so on. So that part of the admin work really helps me.
Okay.
And as we go through this interview, I have ADD like a mug. So I bounce from one thing to the next and have no idea what was going on. And that served me really well. Like if you saw my whiteboard in my office, I mean, it's littered with stuff.
I've seen it. Yes.
And so it's like, some people don't get it. It works for me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thankful I have an assistant that kind of, you know, keeps me on track and radio, you know, radios me when I, hey, you're late for a meeting, you know. But anyway, no, I enjoy teaching. I enjoy what I do now, but they're definitely different careers. And I'll be honest, I wasn't always ready for that.
Okay.
You know, it was challenging because I wanted to be in the classroom or I wanted to be so involved. Like I'd be in a classroom doing an observation and I'm like, oh my gosh, I know the answer to that. Like I want to, you know what I mean? Like it's just that, no, I can't do that, you know? And, but yeah.
That's funny. I just like a quick tangent. Right? I do remember one of the things that used to kind of crack me up on the inside. I don't think I ever mentioned it to you, was like going into your office, because you had that office space at Mountain View when you were the dean of students. You had like the neatest office of any of the other people in the building. And then your whiteboard looked like chaos. And I always used to wonder about that difference there, where like you had like the most organized office in the whole building, but then your whiteboard just looked like someone had a brain barf. But
in that span of 2 years, I was the dean there, I'd moved my office furniture around like maybe six times, you know, and it was, you know, trying to find the balance between, okay, there are going to be kids in here in trouble, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do I make sure I'm connected to them, you know, but at the same time, there's some separation there if one of them chooses to throw something at me. but then also make it inviting enough for parents. So it was always just this, I want this desk out of here. It's too big. It takes up too much room. So then I don't feel comfortable now, you know. So but that was a blast, I'm sure, for our custodial staff.
Yeah, I'm sure.
What's one of the things, because like I've heard you kind of speak to it, you even said like the questioning you do with the observations.
Yep.
One of the things I absolutely love about my observing principal this year is the way that she's been able to change some of that questioning and the way she's shown up basically as like a teammate.
Yep.
And there's not that combating feel that Dave was speaking to. So I am curious, what's some of the things you've done to help remind them that you were a teacher, you've been in these shoes, you want the best for them, those kinds of things, and how important all that connection is, both teacher to admin and teacher to student and admin to student, how it's all kind of part of that triad.
Sure. You know, one of the things that's extremely important to me is I never want to say anything like, if I was you, this is what I would have done.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, this is what I did when I was a teacher. Like that, just not those. I just don't want to say that.
Yeah, those are
turn-offs. If a teacher asks me flat out, like, what would you have done differently? You know, as part of the feedback process, I would answer that. You know, if it was me in your shoes, maybe I would have looked at it like this, or maybe I would have asked it this way. you know, because then I'm bringing my own biases in, right? And what, and then immediately now we're shutting down and we're not getting what, you know, what we need, and with the focus being on student growth. And so for me, the biggest piece is helping teachers be reflective. For me, I'm very much an overanalyzer. I'm an overpreparer. So the things that I thought about in my head leading up to this, I'm probably going to forget about and call you guys later and say, hey, let's reshoot that part, because I've got a better answer in my head. But if I can help teachers reflect on their own practices, that's where I feel like growth would actually happen. You know, and then when that translates to students, I always ask teachers, okay, when are you going to, or where are you going to allow students to reflect on their own learning through this process? And so now all teachers that I work with have some form of self-reflection for students within their assessments, you know, and oftentimes it's just a formative piece, right? Like, not graded necessarily, but, you know, it allows the teacher to see that progress in a different way, because it's not their measurement tool that they're using, whether it be in the grade book or a rubric, but now it's what the student's thinking, what they're feeling. And, you know, early on with some teachers, I think it was more challenging to do that. But over the years, it's become far, far easier for people to weave that into their teaching. And that's the part that's exciting for me. Just like, you know, as a teacher, seeing growth in my students, seeing that growth in them is just awesome. You know, part of it too is my belief that, you know, students need to be doing the work, you know, and my hope is that teachers feel less burdened to have a perfect lesson plan, you know, when I'm there, because they know that my focus is on what are the students doing? When are they reading, writing? When are they talking? You know, and, you know, that goes back to also making sure that I'm present as often as I can be, you know, not sometimes it's just sitting in the back checking email. Sometimes it's just chatting up kids in class when it's appropriate, you know, but, you know, and I hope that that helps to build the trust between us. You know, like I said before, it without that relationship, without that trust, regardless of the feedback that I give, it could be gold, but it won't matter if that relationship isn't there. But I do ask a lot of reflective questions, you know, like, for example, I don't require my teachers to provide me with a lesson plan. You know, I encourage it, but it's not necessary. You know, so my questions really focus on providing me with context on what's going to happen in the class. So in my pre-observation, I'm asking for, you know, what are the students going to be doing? What are the teacher moves you're going to be making? You know, what are the learning expectations that you have for your students, you know, during this time? You know, what did you do before? What did you do after? Just so that it provides me with an idea of what I'm going to be seeing. And, you know, I don't go in with kind of like a checklist of there's their learning target. You know, I talk to kids. Like, I say, hey, what are you expecting to be learning? You know, what's the teacher expect of you today? And if they can't tell me, it doesn't matter what the learning target, that the learning target's posted on the board. You know, the kid doesn't even know what they're expected to learn. That's an issue, right? And so, because I want the kids to own their learning and the teachers to help transfer that responsibility to them. And so one of the things too, when I think about questioning, is at the end, you know, in a post-observation, you know, what adjustments did you have to make based on what you saw in class? You know, in Marzano language, that's the with itness piece. You know, what are you, you know, where did you have to adjust based on your students' needs or on questions? Or, you know, my students were great at getting me to change gears. They just asked me a question about football, or asked me a question about history, or you know, some other topic in history, and they got me, you know. But I think part of it too is, you know, when it comes to the presence, it's not just sitting at like the teacher's desk. It's not sitting, you know, in some far-flung corner in the room. It's being in the class, you know, it's being a member of the class. And when we have discussions, you know, like right now, you know, or when we had remote learning, getting into a breakout room with the kids, you know, and just being part of that group, because I want to put myself in their shoes as often as possible. You know, when we talk about the evaluation process, it's, you know, the primary, you know, focus there is the student growth. And I want to put myself there as often as possible. So if a teacher asks me for feedback, I usually try to avoid words like, you know, that was great, or that was terrible. I most likely won't say that was terrible, but I would say things like, you know, if I was a student in that class, that worked for me, you know, or if I was a student in that class, I would have been confused by, you know, this part of the lesson. And I feel like that is more being a teammate than it is being just their evaluator. Because yes, I have that responsibility too, but it's also important for me to, for them to see me as a partner in this process, because that's what this is.
All right, going to jump in real quick and interrupt this interview here with Tim Fox. We appreciate him being here with us, and we appreciate you being with us, as always, week to week. We'd love to remind you to jump on to littlebiged.com to watch and listen to all of our podcasts. You can access it on all the major platforms. You can also follow us on YouTube if you would like to see our beautiful faces while we're having this conversation. And when you check out littlebiged.com, you can also have access to all of our free resources. Click on that, add your name, your email, become part of our list, and you'll have access to all of that resource list instantly. And we'd also invite you to come get some of the paid resources on our Teacher Vault. So thanks for being a part of our community. Excited to have you here. And let's get back to Tim Fox.
Let's do it. Yeah, I'm glad that you brought up the teammate part of it. Tim actually had an idea that he wanted to bounce off of you for something that he's done to develop that sense of being in it together versus, again, that oppositional thing that I think a lot of teachers can bring into things. Tim, do you want to check in with him about that, like those ideas for creating that connection or sense of togetherness?
Yeah. So for our Tuesday episode, we did the connection piece, and with Admin Week, my connection activity was talking about this idea of volunteering for events. For me, it has been something that has helped me connect with my admin, because the administration, like, you know, and I spoke to it on Tuesday, is like, you're there before I showed up at school, you're there after I leave school, and then you're at the sporting events. I'm like, when do you ever go home? And so for me, what I learned to build those relationships with my admin was I would find things that I was passionate about and I wanted to be a part of, and I would volunteer my time, whether that was helping with extra duties in the morning, covering for an admin when I know they've got 13 things going on and I can hold post for them while they run something down, right, and go take care of some fire in the building, or showing up at a sporting event just to let them know that they've got support too from the teacher side. And I think for me, that's helped build that team mentality, so that when I go into observations, like, I don't feel like I'm being talked down to or being told how to do things. Like, that's helped. But I'm curious, as an admin, what are certain things or spaces where teachers could show up and volunteer and be there? And how would that land for you, especially if, you know, one of your, like, you know, like, love languages is like acts of services kind of things, right? Mm-hmm. One of the five major love languages is, like, we connect through acts of service. Like, how can we show up and volunteer our time so that we can connect with you and build those relationships?
Yeah, you know, it's extremely important for me. And we really focused on this at Mountain View. And it was providing entry points as often as possible in whatever capacity you have, right, as a teacher, you know, as our classified staff, as, you know, anyone within our building. That would be incredible, you know, because you're right. There are some times where I might not leave school until 10 o'clock at night. And, you know, it's one of those things where it's weird, because there's a part of me that wants to show my teachers and our staff that, hey, I'm here and I'm serving and I'm going to serve and I'm going to do everything I can to make your life easier and better. You know, I want you to want to be here. You know, I think that's a sign of a good culture when people are there, not because they have to be there, but because they want to be there. And so, you know, just providing as many entry points as possible. You know, for me this year, you know, we have a new principal. And so I approached him in August, as we had a crazy, even before COVID, crazy situation that happened at Camas High School. And so our principal resigned. We had an interim principal. He became the principal that summer. And yes. Chaos. Yeah, maybe I should have not said anything.
No, you're good. I think it's important to acknowledge the chaos that we all live through.
Yeah. And so, and there's another factor to that too. I applied for the principal job and I didn't get it. And I'm, you know, and I'm here. And so there's been an element of, how do I continue to serve in the capacity that I'm in when I thought there was a chance that I could be that the leader of the school, right? Mm-hmm. The lead learner of the school. And so that part in itself has been a challenge. At the same time, though, it's going, okay, these are the things that need to be done. You know, we've had a chaotic spring with COVID and, you know, our administrative change. You know, where are areas that I can step up? You know, in years past, our TOSAs have run PD, and that changed, like, instantly changed. Like, hey, you're not having TOSAs anymore, run PD. You guys got to deal with it. And I'm like, oh, crap. Okay, let me, you know what? I'll take that on. That sounds fun. I enjoy that part. I love it. To me, that's just like one giant, you know, year-long plan anyway, right? Like being in the classroom. And it's been crazy. Like guests that we couldn't lock up because of, you know, one reason or the other. And so making changes on the fly and, you know, that piece has been really tough. And I try to do so much of that on my own, right? And it was a regret of mine, because part of it, not knowing when we're coming back and not knowing we can have in-person opportunities to be together, to bring guests in, to bring experts in, was always challenging. It was like a month-to-month deal. And I hate planning that way. Like, it just, I want to find common threads between our district goals, our school goals, you know, and also, you know, just goals that teachers have of areas that they want to grow in. And here I am, I'm slapping something together 2 weeks before school starts, you know, and, you know, so it's been this rocky road the whole time. So today, sorry, this is a long story, but, you know, today, thinking about going into next year, I sent out an email to staff just saying, hey, you know, I'm looking for people to help with PD for next year. You know, one of the areas that unfortunately has been neglected and probably in a lot of schools and a lot of districts is professional development for our classified staff. You know, so here we are talking about restorative justice, right? And I've led some PD in the past around restorative justice. And the people who are often the ones working one-on-one with students have no idea what it is. Mm-hmm. So here's a population of our adults who have no idea that this is one of our goals. And so making sure that the team that we're putting together has as many voices as possible, you know, as many stakeholders as possible. And so providing teachers with that opportunity to say, you know, this is what I want. This is where I want to grow, you know. And, you know, if there's anything that we learned during this pandemic that I will certainly keep going is some of the on-demand learning opportunities. You know, obviously it's different when it's live and it feels like, you know, I'm going to do this when I can do it, but the opportunity is there for people. So we want to continue to provide that. The other area is, so I, because I oversee ASB, because I work closely with the leadership kids, I want to really focus on how we onboard students. You know, so we have this orientation piece and it's not the greatest, you know, and Camas High School, as big as it is, we've got 2,200 kids. Many of our families have been living here for a long time. So we've got students that have been here since kindergarten, now are in high school, and we've got kids who are moving in during the middle of the year, you know, at some point. And we don't do a great job of helping those kids feel acclimated to the bubble that we are in. And so, you know, how do we support those students? You know, we have a population of most of our students are white. And so when we have students of color who move in, how do we support them? How do we make them feel comfortable, you know, in ways that isn't patronizing, you know, or making them feel like, this is, you're making things worse, you know? Yeah, so yeah. Looking at how we help, help kids feel more comfortable in our school. And so I've done some research over the pandemic, around onboarding, like how does onboarding happen at university? How does it happen within organizations, you know, which has led me down this path of, we do a pretty crappy job of onboarding staff and kids. You know, and like I said, I think most schools do, right? Like, here's your booklet, here's a map, whatever, like, you know, figure it out. And so, you know, being more intentional about how we do that, because we do have strong athletics, strong academics, our clubs and, you know, our performing arts are all amazing. And so we have these silos within our school. So it's building more connections between them, you know, helping students feel more connected in that way. You know, and that's something too that's been amazing is our teachers are stepping up to lead, you know, help lead these student-based organizations. You know, just during the pandemic, I think we've had probably 12 clubs formed.
Oh, wow.
You know,
oh, wow.
And those all requires teachers, all requires staff members. So, you know, that's one way too. You know, sometimes it's just letting the kids be in your room, you know, and some of the clubs are, you know, like just passion clubs that students have that just need a space, need an adult to supervise, facilitate. You know, that part is huge because it allows the kids to connect to an adult, but also to connect with each other in a safe place. So, you know, again, for me, it's about trying to provide entry points. And if teachers are finding those entry points, man, even better. You know, so that's, I think that's a great idea. And hey, if you want to come out and help chaperone prom, because we're going to have one, as crazy as it's going to be, we're going to have one. Come on out.
I'm DJ. I just got locked in as the DJ for prom here in Bowling Green. I'm so pumped. So yeah,
there you go.
I'm down. So anyway, I want to say thank you so much for hanging out with us and taking some time out of your busy night. And it was great to meet you and appreciate it.
You too. You too. Thank you guys. Appreciate this.
Yeah, it was good to hear from the admin perspective and get that idea of how that connection piece can be important to that. And I guess all I can say is I wish, as a compliment to Fox, I wish more admin had that focus of putting the student first. And I think you can always be more successful if everybody in the building is focused on what's best for students. And if you're starting from that point, everything kind of takes care of itself. So thank you for that, and keep up the good work, and good luck with
thanks, guys.
All the stuff in Papermaker land.
Yeah. Same to you guys.
Thanks.
Take care.
We'll see everybody back here next Tuesday.